on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to yet another fun-filled week of the Shock Factor podcast, where this week, Jake Mintz is not with us. He hit the transfer portal. He's actually on the D1 Baseball main podcast, which we do here in the podcast world consider Power 5. So We say nothing but congrats to him and just say, hey, remember where you came from on the Shock Factor. You're beautiful. You smelled nice. But that is not to be missed, because what we have here with unfinished business on the unfinished business side of the Shock Factor podcast is Stephen Shock and Jordan Schusterman. Jordan, how are you doing this week?
Look at us. Look at us, Steve. Yes, Jake unavailable this week. He will be back next week. But I'm excited to be here with you, Steve. We are here together on this Monday evening to talk about the latest weekend in college baseball, a weekend in which I enjoyed some college baseball IRL, and I'm excited to talk about that. Not necessarily a matchup that everyone was locked into this weekend, but it really did remind me just like this is, again, we love this stuff. And so I'm excited to tell you about my afternoon seeing Xavier against Bowling Green. I'm excited to hear about your experience with UVA and Duke. And of course, we will be hitting a bunch of other stuff. We got some fun moments, player and pitcher of the week. And then we're going to do a little golden shoes. That's what it's called, right? The Golden Shoes Award.
Yeah, I believe so. They can the golden or the red slippers from the Wizard of Oz for the most impressive dreamlike player and shifted to golden shoes. So I believe their moccasins, a type of Sperry Dock Cider like hybrid, but we'll see. We'll see when the award officially unveils. But one thing I want to mention going into this season, if someone said, hey, Steven, you have to guess one weekend where Jordan is going to college baseball game opposed to a Major League Baseball game, I would not have picked this weekend. So was there nothing else going on MLB wise for you?
It's. I'm so glad you say that. See, that's very, very observant of you. That's a very good point.
Of course,
my actual job, of course, covering Major League Baseball for Yahoo Sports, and I did do that as opening weekend did in fact happen this past weekend, Thursday. So again, you know, I live in Richmond, Indiana, and the Reds are my closest team. Cincinnati, just drive a little over an hour down south of me, and the Reds opened up on Thursday on regular opening day, and I attended that game. But because MLB does this weird thing where for a lot of the opening series that start on Thursday, they just plop an off day on Friday, oftentimes as a possible rain out date. And so, again, very rare Friday off days during the Major League Baseball season. But because the weather was so good and because I wanted to hang out in Cincinnati after the game and then the next morning, I was like, great, there's no Reds game on Friday. I'm still in the area. Not only do I get to go watch some Big East / Mac baseball, I can drag some other MLB writers to come watch with me, which will be and they didn't know what they were in for, but you know, I'll get to that a little bit later. So the point is in some ways the answer is actually yes, there was no MLB game in Cincinnati on Friday, and so I took advantage of it.
Well, hey, power to you and respect to you for doing it. Double dipping in the most beautiful, beautiful way. Now, me, I kept it simple. I just went to Duke, stayed out of the MLB as one person in North Carolina will do.
It's not that hard to do to avoid in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's very easy. It's like playing dodgeball in a room where balls aren't allowed. That's what it really is like. So I just headed over to the beautiful Durham, North Carolina, to check out Jack Coombs Field, which I hadn't been to in probably about 10 years. And I'm going to be honest right now, it still looks very similar to what it looked like 10 years ago. But what a lot of people got to factor in is the fact that Duke was playing a lot of its home games at Durham Bulls Athletic Park, which, one, that's really cool because it gets people in the city excited about Duke baseball. It kind of grows the game that way. But two, that's really expensive. And it's really hard to go to a board of directors and say, hey, look, we need a massive grandstand right here on our practice field in case we stop paying this contract and want to go back. So now that they are officially back, we are in the early stages of what Duke baseball is going to look like. And it is a school where, like, it's an expensive school for out-of-state kids. There's a lot of money at Duke. This baseball facility, I think, is going to look, in, if there were a paper plate award in 4 years for most improved, Duke is the easiest candidate in my mind because they have all the money, and where they're at, the baseline, it's decent, but it's like a 1990s ACC facility, you know?
Yeah, and it's interesting because now I'm not an expert on this, so maybe I don't want to talk too out of turn here, but you know, my understanding of the facilities race, you know, the technological arms race that we have in college baseball is obviously one where it's going to be tilted towards the programs in the South and the programs that are up and coming. And of course, we've talked so much about Wake, and I'm sure we'll mention them at some point during this conversation. But the thing I'm thinking about is like, right, like for Duke, like the opportunity here is unbelievable, right? If you actually have the commitment and the investment into a program that is clearly, you know, ascendant in a very real way, why not? Right. You know, I know we talk about like, it's the kind of thing that in theory you would expect like Stanford to have. I don't know much about like Stanford's facilities or whatever, but you're not necessarily always going to get that heavy investment in maybe the West Coast in the same way that if Duke wants to do it, they can absolutely do it.
Yeah. And I love their facility the way it is. Do not get me wrong. Just in my mind, there's the demand for being at a Duke baseball game is greater than the supply of seats right now. And that needs to change. You know, and
not that complicated.
That's a very good problem to have. Yeah. So shout out to Duke for that. The baseball was good. UVA did not win, but that means I got to see Duke's pitching staff perform, which that's what a lot of people want to see. And perform they did. They're very impressive. I don't think they allowed a home run all weekend. I think there was only one home run all weekend, which was off the bat of Alex Stone, I believe, which makes sense. But it was just a really cool environment. I really do like their stadium because of how close all the fans are. You don't really have a choice, but also the players do a great job with their walkout songs. The tunes they pick are phenomenal. And between innings, they're playing great songs. There was Cascada. Every Time We Touch was playing, which that's the national anthem of any bowling
eternal alley. Banger. Eternal banger.
Absolute. Absolute. And so, you know, you got things like that going. It was a great time. But one of the people that I learned about in meeting. So while we were there, UVA and Duke are playing, which is very exciting, number of reasons. But for the O'Shell family, this is super exciting because Fran O'Shell, he, of course, is a great pitcher for Duke. His little brother, Charlie, is at UVA. He's a great pitcher for them as well in his own right. And then their littlest brother, Will, who is taller than both of them, which I met him this weekend. He is taller than both of them because why not? He is committed to Duke. He committed to Duke after their fall game where they played NC State, which was really cool, or the day before, I believe. So the whole O'Shell bunch was there. It was also Fran, the whole family's mom's birthday. So shout out Mrs. O'Shell. Happy birthday. But in speaking with Mrs. O'Shell, I learned about Cooper O'Shell, which they are not sure what kind of dog this is, but this is the fourth O'Shell child. He is around 7 to 8, kind of looks like a yellow lab, could be, who knows what he is, but he is a good boy, and we got to shout out Cooper. I was shown a very funny picture of Cooper in a jersey, which is half Duke, half UVA, supporting both his brothers. I don't know if there's plans to, you know, maybe take up 2/3 in Duke, 1/3 UVA as the future comes about. But it was just a really fun thing to learn about and really cool to see that there's a dog in a baseball jersey because I love dogs. I love baseball.
That makes sense. Fran O'Shell is gigantic. You're telling me Will O'Shell's taller than him? That seems hard.
He's taller, not wider. So Fran O'Shell, I think what he benefits from is the fact that, yes, he is very tall, but he is also built like a door. Like I just looked at my door to check. And yeah, that's about like shoulder width that wide. And he is like super athletic, like a chiseled athlete. I'm insanely jealous. You know, the kid hit a jackpot. Good for him. But Will, even taller, a little bit of a string bean right now, but he's also a senior in high school or junior in high school. I don't know his exact age.
I think he is a junior.
Okay, so he's got time.
Most importantly, Steve, about the O'Shell fam, Malvern Prep. I mean, Runes is just going crazy. These are his boys. I mean, this is...
I think, because their dads his dad played with Coach Rooney, or they went to high school together. I don't know if they played.
I don't know what the specific... I don't know. I mean, there probably is a specific connection, because, again, that's what happened.
Well, the specific connection is anyone who has to come through Malvern Prep has to go through Mike Rooney first. So they probably met then, like the orientation.
Exactly. but anything else? Logan Bravo, by the way, was your one home run in that weekend. But I just got to say, I mean, a three-game ACC series with one home run. I mean, what was it free? Like, what was going on? Did they forget to juice the balls and the bats? What would happen?
I don't know. It was a very mild evening. I think I had a sweatshirt on, but I didn't really need the sweatshirt. Yeah, it was just more.
It wasn't
of a,
that
like,
cold.
Hey.
It was.
Yeah, we're just trying to get some attention away from the body, you know.
and is the I mean, dimensions wise, Coombs is a notably hitter.
It might be the trees. Maybe the trees in the outfield do something. That's the only thing I can think of, because it's
eye. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it's not massive like the field. Right. It's got a great video board that's not distracting anybody. It's far away. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I think the pitching was just good. You know,
no, that's true. That's obviously always possible. I just, again, like, it's unfortunately
it's
so rare now to have a series like that. So it definitely stands out. But Virginia does get one. They do. They avoided the sweep, which is kind of the name of the game, right? In the ACC and in the SEC is don't get swept. So they
especially with how good. Yeah, with just how loaded it is, it's just like, you win one. I remember when we played, even, it was like, hey, look, at the start of the season, we were just like, let's not get swept. Don't get swept. Hang on. And then you can surprise some people. You take two out of three, you sneak in one sweep, you're good to go. But it really is just a bloodbath in the ACC this year. I'm very glad I'm out of it. Honestly.
Yes, but, you know, much needed for Dukeville, right? So they win that series against Wake, and then losing series to Clemson and NC State. Now you kind of bounce back here. Now they got Miami coming into Coombs this weekend. So, all right. Well, thank you for your book report on your field trip to Coombs Fields. Very, very nice, Steve. It seems like you had a grand old time.
I did forget to mention I peed my pants twice, and someone did steal my lunch. So completely dry. Completely dry the whole time.
He made it all the way through. Wow, Steve's really growing up. Okay, let me tell you about my time, because I know that everyone tuning into this show is like, what happened to Ed Xavier and Bowling Green? Well, I'm going to tell you. Let me just give you the highlights. Okay, so again, it was Friday afternoon. Beautiful day in Cincinnati. I was a little bit bummed that I had missed the first game of the series, which involved a wild Xavier comeback, two home runs in the ninth inning. Now, before, something that I had nothing to do with, because I think I saw him play, but he didn't really do anything in the game I was at. The guy that hit the walk-off home run for Xavier on Thursday was named Hayden Christensen, which is a name you might recognize. Are you familiar with the name Hayden Christensen?
That's a very familiar name, but I feel like, as most things go, I'm going to need you to tell me why I know this one.
It's okay. He's familiar. I'm going to try to lead you to this, but you can do some Googling yourself, and then you'll be like, oh, I know that name. This guy is very famous. So, as far as
he won the Shiny Shoes Award, right? He won the Shiny Shoes Award.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
just kidding. Right. Didn't he get banned from the NCAA after what he did to all those younglings or something?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what Hayden Christensen you're referring to. I'm, of course, referring
Anakin.
To the one.
You know, he did the bad thing to the kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. He was the NCAA was not super happy with with what Mr. Skywalker was up to. I have to imagine, in terms of like props in the dugout, Anakin Skywalker would not be NCAA approved.
I mean, can you take away his prop? Just like, oh, no props. Oh, I'm choking. Oh, I'm dead. Now look at me. I feel like an idiot. I died.
Anyway, so Hayden Christensen, pretty sure it's a different guy, but that guy's on Xavier, and he had a walk-off home run Thursday. Anyway, when I was there, here were the biggest takeaways. The first is Nathan Archer. So this is a center fielder for Bowling Green, quietly, like totally held his own in the Cape last year. Kid, you know, playing from Ohio, playing in the MAC, exactly the kind of profile where it's like, oh, like this guy is going to transfer to some other school. He's like, no, I'm going to stick it out of Bowling Green. I'm going to be a Falcon, and I'm going to just absolutely dominate, as you should. And I was excited to see him, and I was like, that's the player I was really kind of zeroed in on. And it's just so satisfying, Steve. This happened to me earlier this season with Travis Bezzana in opening weekend, where I was like, oh, I'm going to walk over to the stadium and watch Travis Bezzana. Walk up 30 seconds later, homer, right? Exact same thing this weekend. I go over there, and I get in there second, third inning. I'm with a couple of beat writers, MLB beat writers. They were like, what is this mystical game going on with metal bats? Whoa, so spooky. I was like, I know, it's going to be okay. Anyway, I sit down. Here comes Nathan Archer. And the Xavier Field, which is awesome, by the way, Hayden Field, Cincinnati, incredible. I mean, Skyline is kind of a weird way to put it, but it's just a beautiful park. And it's got like one of the athletic centers in right field. And there are a bunch of these in college baseball, right? I mean, yeah, it's the roof shot, right? I mean, it's incredible. And Nathan Archer, boom, just blasts one to the roof. I don't care if the fence is only 350 away, because it looked like he hit it 900 feet because it landed on the roof. It's the best.
No, home runs that hit stuff always will trump home runs that do not hit stuff. I think ranking-wise, now I might catch some flack for this. Hitting a building, cool. Hitting a window, cooler. Hitting a car, cooler. Hitting a person sometimes, pretty cool. Depending on like, if they're trying to catch. Yeah,
yes.
If they're okay. You know, but if they're paying attention, you know, all sorts of things. I'm all for it. I got to know, Jordan, though. There's a gentleman by the name of Rigo Ramos, a left-handed pitcher for Bowling Green. Did you get a chance to get a look at him?
No. I'm about to tell you about a left-handed pitcher I did see that I was very excited about, but tell me, I don't think I did see him, no.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats, seeing which game he pitched, but my brain's not doing the math.
I will admit, I did not stay for the last couple innings, so it's possible he came in, but...
Definitely possible.
Tell me about him. Yeah.
Oh, I was just wondering about him. This kid, he made a TikTok last summer about how he missed the big donkey playing college baseball, which now I follow Rigo Ramos. Like, that is as simple as it gets. You want my attention, you just be nice. Rigo Ramos, anytime I think of Bowling Green, he is the first person who comes to mind. If anyone's like, hey, who should I look out for on Bowling Green? Rigo Ramos is the name I'm going to be speaking because he's nice.
Well, there you go. That is very funny. I mean, again, obviously we shout out Nathan Archer. I think he's definitely someone to keep an eye on. They have their best pitcher is also one of their best hitters. They have a two-way guy named DJ Newman. He's very impressive. He's a sophomore. I'll be curious to see if he stays there or if he goes in the portal or something else. But he's, man, that is a very talented player. But then the two other guys I have to mention, one is Matt McCormick, who you informed me about last year or 2 years ago. This is one of the wilder stories that we had in college baseball last year. My understanding was that he was at West Virginia and then he basically was just kind of done with college baseball. I believe he had like already enrolled in the police academy and then somehow ended up at Xavier and is now like still hitting home runs. Like, but maybe you could refresh me on that story if you remember it.
Yeah. So I believe he dropped out at West Virginia, was like, you know what? I think they want me to redshirt. I wasn't going to get much time. So he was like, I'm just going to join the local police academy. I want to say this was a while ago. And then someone from Xavier is just like, can he play? And he was like, yeah.
Okay.
Or they were like, does he still have it? I feel like was that like the frame of the question.
So yes, I've refreshed myself here. So basically he gets drafted out of high school in 2019. So like people know who Matt McCormick is. He's a big left-handed hitter and he's at West Virginia in 20 and 21. And it seems like after 21, he was like, I'm not doing this anymore. So he just doesn't play in 2022 and then just resurfaces in 2023 last year and, you know, hits 14 home runs for Xavier and I guess still has eligibility because I watched him hit 3 days ago in Xavier's lineup.
Yeah, so in 2021 at Xavier, he played in 51 games, started for at West Virginia, played 51 games, started 49, hit 280 in 186 at-bats, 23 extra base hits, 15 doubles, 7 home runs. And this was in 2021 before everyone was mashing home runs. I think Wes Clark led the nation with 24 or 25.
It was right. It's like we were transitioning into whatever it is.
We were juicing them up. This is when we were, you know, you got to pump it up. We were in that phase. We hadn't really gotten to the course yet where people are really going nuts. But I remember his story, and I just love thinking of the juxtaposition of I'm going to be a cop. No, I'm going to be a college baseball player because I don't speak for all of college baseball when I say this. But in terms of following rules, I wasn't always doing that as a college baseball player. You know, you're out having fun. You're staying up late. You're at unsavory places from time to time. If you are of the age and you want to go to a sports bar, you go to a sports bar and you have a beverage. So the completely different from being in the police academy, I imagine. So good on him for being able to make that switch.
So seeing Matt McCormick, seeing a big donkey favorite, that was obviously exciting. But the true highlight beyond Nathan Archer hitting a home run 30 seconds after I got there was seeing Xavier left-handed pitcher Tyler Sawsville. Okay. Now this is late in the game and here comes Tyler Sawsville. And Tyler Sawsville is listed on the Xavier website at 5'7". And I am going to respectfully take the under. And when you say, well, that's not very nice, Jordan. Well, now I'm about to say a lot of nice things because this kid was freaking awesome. Okay. This kid goes up there and is just slinging 86, 87 in there. And they can't even sniff it. And he's got a good breaking ball too. He was tremendous. And his dad was right behind home plate videoing every pitch. And he looked exactly like him. And he was wearing like a jersey that's like a shirt that said Sawsville in the back. It was perfect. It was absolutely amazing. And then I'm like looking this guy up. He was a D2 transfer from New Haven. He actually started at New Haven as an outfielder as well. Seems to have transferred full time on the mound now. Dominant in the summer last year in the Perfect Game League. A 1.60 ERA in 45 innings with 49 strikeouts. He's been pitching out of the pen for Xavier. And he's from Schenectady, so upstate New York. I love this kid. There's no shot he's 5'7", but I don't care. He's one of my favorite pitchers in college baseball, and I hope he's awesome all year long.
Tyler, I'm so glad you said Schenectady or however you say it. Schenectady. Because I was looking at that and I was thinking it was Schenectady. I was going to say he is putting on for Schenectady, New York, which that is not the case. He's not doing that. He doesn't know where Schenectady is. No one does because it hasn't been invented yet. But this is one of those types of pitchers that I absolutely love to see. One of those guys who's just like, look, let me get my foot in the door at the college level. And I promise, like, you're going to look brilliant. Oh. And the coaches that are like, okay, yeah, prove it. Those guys, they look like geniuses because now this guy's out there absolutely slinging it like a madman, which I'm here for that.
Yeah, no, it was a delight. So he got my attention and whatever is left for him, whatever is you know on deck for him this season, I'm definitely rooting for him. So that was my highlight. Anyway, that's my recap of Xavier Bowling Green. We'll see if we ever talk about them again on the Shock Factor podcast, but at the very least, we'll be talking about Nathan Archer and Matt McCormick and Tyler Sawsville.
Enrico Ramos, cannot forget. Yes, he was nice. But moving along to people who are nice and particularly nice treatment, we're moving on to the Giblet Tickler of the week. And this week, plain and simple, Jack Caglione. I do not care what he did the first two games of this series. I'm pretty sure he did well. Like, he did fine. Like, good games. But
it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if he went 0-for-9 because of what he did on the last game.
What he saved for Easter Sunday was certainly different. And let me tell you, for a guy with initials JC, Easter, it works. It paid off. This dude goes on the mound.
Keep going. I got another JC joke later, so we're
all right. Perfect. Wanted to make sure it was on the table. Bring it out, you know, play it.
Oh, I got you. Fun. I got you covered later. Don't you worry.
But and we're of course talking about Jacob Christensen. But either way, this dude to go on the mound, turn in a quality start. That's one thing. To go, you know what? I'm gonna get stuck with a loss here after doing well. You know what? No, I'm not. Because watch this. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to do it myself. It was very much like woman going to the school board to get a change made for her daughter to make school more accessible or better for her. And the school board keeps going, no, no. Let's say in this scenario, the daughter needs a swing set put in. So then, you know, they're like, no, we aren't going to put the swing set in. Then the mom just shows up to the playground, builds the swing set herself. That's what Jack Caglione did. That's what this performance was, hitting a walk-off home run and starting a game. That is insane. The only time I had ever seen that happen was when Devin Ortiz started a game against ODU in regionals for UVA in 2021. He went 5 innings and then I blew a save and he was able to hit a walk-off home run. And I was able to
sneak a win. I remember that well. Yeah.
Did I lose a UCL in the process? Perhaps. But hey, that's all right.
Worth it.
Yeah. Honestly, look at where we are now. Ended up. I got a Soldier Tank BB Corps baseball bat. Who else can say that? Not many. But yeah, that's who tickled my giblets. It's a great pick. Honestly, I accidentally segued myself there. So let's get right into it and hear from one of our sponsors in Soldier Sports. It. Now, Jordan, have you heard of the 2025 Soldier Tank BB Corps baseball bat by Soldier Sports?
I already forgot. Tell me, remind me.
Okay, good. If you said no, I was going to say you should listen because I've done this. This isn't just any bat, Jordan. It's lighter and hotter than any of its predecessors. This is thanks to its infused power alloy technology that creates an ultra big, ultra hot sweet spot. Crafted from over 2.5 years of research and development, the Soldier Tank is the perfect blend of speed and power designed for both power and contact hitters. It features a formula for success. Speed times mass times impact equals extreme power. I've seen it swung. Even the miss hits have juice with the Soldier Tank. The bat is priced at an incredible $311, which is well worth it to swing the top scoring BB Corps bat ever. I don't know. That didn't make as loud a sound as I wanted it to. They're selling out fast, though, so head over to soldiersports.us to secure yours today. Now, the juice was in the bat. There was no juice in my head. That's why we didn't get the loud sound we were looking for. But Soldier Tank, good bat, seen it swung. I'm going to place it very gently down on the ground next to me so it doesn't mishit my table because this desk will fly. I've seen it happen.
If it even taps your shelf, it's going to the warning track.
Just one day we're going to be broadcasting live and you're going to hear a tiny little ping and it's going to be like a grenade went off on my desk and my eyebrows are just going to be burnt off and you're going to be like, well, that's the Soldier Tank, you know,
Soldier Tank.
That's what I signed up for.
It happens. All right, Steve, before we get to our moments of the week, just do a little bit of a quick little top 25 banter. I, at this point of the season, you kind of have to start factoring in results, right? Mm-hmm. We're way too far in to just be like, well, this is what we thought this team was. You can only say that for so long. I will say, though, it does feel like this might be Wake Forest's last chance to, listen, 17-10 is not bad. But I'm curious how much longer we're going to be like, no, but they're supposed to be the best team. I'm not saying I would have advocated to boot them out. But it is, you know, after getting swept at home by UNC, clearly a good team. But, LSU also plummeting, to 18, they get swept at Arkansas. I would say that's less troubling than losing at home to UNC. But LSU and Wake, I'm looking at them like, man, like, all right, we'll keep them in here for now. But I have to imagine they're on thin ice.
Yeah, as someone who is logged into all the D1 baseball social network channels, I see the messages. I look. Yeah. I'm bored. If you think people don't look at their messages, they do. I'm bored most of the time. I'm always scrolling. But the outrage to Wake Forest still being in the top 25 is not that bad compared to the absolute horror that is Florida still being in the top 10, I believe. Are they still in the top 10?
If they were still six.
Okay. So, yeah, that is something. That's a bugaboo people are not very pleased about. But don't get mad at us. Florida keeps playing good on the weekend. And don't get mad at me and Jordan either. That's wasted energy.
Definitely. We are not.
We don't do any of that.
Let's be very clear, right? Like, I'm bringing this up having nothing to do with, even less to do with the rankings than Steve. And Steve really has nothing to do with the rankings. So, this is just my observation. I don't want to speak for Aaron Fitt and Kendall Rogers and Mike Rooney and everybody. Again, this is just as my outsiders as I look at it. It's just interesting. It's the ultimate kind of test of patience and like, okay, like how long are we doing this? Because at some point, because even, you know, whatever, Florida won their series, like, fine, I understand they've been frustrating at times, but Wake is just, and by the way, the other thing about Wake, right? Like, you know, they're going to Blacksburg this weekend. That's not an easy assignment. So LSU is hosting Vanderbilt, right? So that'll be really interesting as well. So it's a really interesting play because it's April. It's April, Steve. We can't be making excuses anymore or anything. Like, at some point you got to start winning. Their seasons are far from over. They're both still extremely talented. Nick Hurts has started to look way better. Oh, Chase Burns is still great, blah, 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 blah.
Matter of time. We will, of course, the only rankings that matter are at the end of the year.
Correct.
When, you know, they're kind of decided by the baseball playing.
Correct.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, look, this is kind of just a testament to how absolutely stacked these conferences are this year.
Yes.
Because you see a different ACC team flipping into the top 10.
Yeah. And
we different SEC team breaking into the rankings, breaking into the top 10. It's a very tumultuous year. I am very glad that I am not associated with
it. Oh, it's great. We get to sit back and not like, who did that? Oh, whatever. Not my problem. I'm just going to
look at what my friends think.
Well, it's bad. And it's also, again, all the people leaving comments like, are you crazy? Like, how could you possibly leave? Like, this applies to so much in sports where you're just like, how could this be? It's like, okay, well, so then who should not be there? Right. Like, who should move out? Like, it's not easy. That's what makes it fun.
It's opportunity cost.
Absolutely. But yeah, I mean, again, some of these teams, you met, like Kentucky, I feel like probably should start taking them a little bit more seriously, especially because we just did this last year. It's like we shouldn't be surprised anymore. Like, we just did the exact same dance last year.
Can't wait for next year.
Yeah, when we're like shocked when Kentucky's 10-0 in the SEC again. But yeah, anything else in the top 25 before we move to moments?
Very thrilled for UCF and Nebraska. I do want to take a second and apologize to Nebraska. This was my first weekend back in the D1 account tweeting for D1. I tweeted about the Huskers, accidentally hit copy and paste on the Instagram the Twitter handle, as I do from time to time, because teams always have different handles. I still had Indiana loaded. That's my bad.
Oh.
I hit fire tweet. I still hit fire tweet. That's on me.
Well, hey.
We're improving because of it. We are.
Steve, that's not as bad. That's not as bad as the NBA account tweeting, tagging Alabama in the Arkansas walk-off.
Yeah,
that is with the like Roll Tide caption.
Yeah, that was different. I will say, in all the rankings graphics, the graphics are confusing. I feel like we use different logos each time. We got to get a standardized set. That's one thing that will help, but also just, you know.
Two points on that. One, you were so close to April Fool's. Almost made it. Could have just shrugged it off and been like, oh, ha, ha, ha. What a good joke. Here's how the NCAA account can undo this. The next time Alabama does something awesome, tag Arkansas, hit him with the woo pig suey, and move on.
Two then wrongs do make a right. Everybody lies.
Right. That's exactly what you need to do. So
everybody lies.
I'm sure.
When has someone ever been kicked in the shin and not gone, oh, if I kick that guy in the shin, we'll be right back to neutral? That would reset me every time.
I can't say that this is the advice of whoever's in charge of the person running the NCAA baseball account.
That's fine.
I would love to see that because I think that would be a funny way to handle it. Anyway, Nebraska is 20-5. They're in the top 25 now. They've only played one Big Ten series, but they swept Northwestern. They play Ohio State this weekend at home. The Big Ten is entirely up for grabs. I still think Maryland and Iowa, Indiana, should be taken seriously. But Nebraska clearly has a great opportunity here. And we will see. Illinois 5-1, sure. There's a long way to go in the Big Ten. So I like some of what Nebraska has going for them, but let's wait. And then UCF, listen, I was about to be like, oh, it's so nice to see a mid-major and up. No, they're in the Big 12 too. So,
so why not?
I'm not only Big
12 team though, which that I believe.
Wait, oh, is that true?
I believe they are the only Big 12 team in the top 10.
Because Oklahoma fell out.
Which it's like, oh, wait, what?
Wait,
UCF is the only team from the Big 12 in the top 25. You say that sentence to someone last year.
Last year? 3 weeks ago, Steve.
Fair.
That's so funny. UCF is the only team in the Big 12. Oh, man. I need Cincinnati to go on a run so they can be the only team in the Big 12 in the top 25.
Also, got to give a shout out to Lamar. Lamar knocked Oklahoma out. They knocked Oklahoma out this week after a sweep, which, Lamar, good for you. Good job. I'm excited to follow along. You have my attention now.
Steve, Leslie, we should really get to the moments here, but I'm glad you mentioned Lamar because you were on the podcast, the preview podcast.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And Aaron Fitt, I believe, was like, keep an eye on Lamar. And I was like.
And it's like, he said that. And I was like, I did not pick them.
I was like, I'm paying attention. But I was like, Lamar, like going into Norman, I was like, all right, so are you saying like Lamar is going to like maybe get a game, like maybe like eke out, you know, a series victory? And it was like, no, Lamar just went in there and just kicked their ass.
Like, honestly.
Okay, Southland, I'm listening.
Which I'm here for, because 2 years ago, I tweeted a clip of a Lamar inner squad where it was in the fall and the player, it was a pitcher just got out of an inning and was talking so much, just so much trash. And the hitter was talking so much trash back. And I remember tweeting it and I was like, this is the energy. It was like a high value production. Like their team videographer with the expensive camera was zoomed in on this interaction. It was awesome. Great clip. And I was like, this is how fall inner squad should go. And then I got clowned on because they didn't do phenomenal last year. And people were like, oh, well, they shouldn't go this way because everyone should behave and respect each other. Well, now Lamar is not respecting anyone. They're walking through and just kicking everyone right in the balls, which is not a nice way to treat people. But on a baseball field, in terms of baseball, good on you. Good for you.
Oh, 100%. They have, I believe they play Sam Houston, of course, one of our favorites.
Don't you do it, Lamar. Don't you do it.
In a midweek on tomorrow. So
don't you kick those giblets of those poor Bearcats. Those are my friends.
Okay. We'll see. But at the very least, if Lamar can go in and whoop on Oklahoma, I imagine they're gonna do pretty well in the Southland. So Lamar, you Aaron Fitt, hat tip to you. And Lamar has our attention moving forward.
Hey everyone, we're gonna take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, Steve, let's get some moments here. Let's fly through these. And I added one here at the last second I really want to get to. Don't look at it yet if you haven't. Let's begin. So go ahead. Why don't you start us off with the
Gauge Zeal? Well, you want to go auctioneer style? I can. Gauge Zeal. After last week where we said just give the award to Chase Burns for ACC Pitcher of the Week, it worked. We finally got a new one. Gauge Zeal was the new Pitcher of the Week. Career high 15 strikeouts in a complete game against Clemson, where he only gave up, I believe, two earned or unearned runs. They might have been unearned. But the kid absolutely shoved.
If you go CG with 15 strikeouts, I don't really care how many runs you allowed.
Yeah, I mean, who's Jake's friend? We don't care. We don't care how many you give up. You know,
the Armando Sierra. Yeah.
Armando Sierra.
I'll check on him while you continue.
It's the Armando Sierra clause. We don't care as long as you're out there and you're rolling. Next up, we have Blake Burke tying the Tennessee home run record with an absolute moonshot in true Blake Burke fashion, sending one out of Lindsey Nelson Stadium into the parking lot. I believe this one went into a Toyota Sequoia. Not really sure if that was a planned NIL thing or not, but either way, good on you, Blake Burke, because home runs freaking rock. Next up, we have LSU. They got swept, which, you know, that happens. We're going to move on from that. But this moment is more so, I just threw the SEC baseball rankings in there, because what is going on? It's absolutely nuts right now. If you look at the East, there is a team called Kentucky. They're 8-1. We already touched on that. LSU is 2-7. People are starting to talk. We know what's happened. People are starting to murmur. I'm not saying that's happening right now, but let's get back on track. You know, let's squash those rumors right now. Let's just go do it. Come on. You can do it. We believe in you. Next up, we have Will McIntyre being an absolute savage. He had thrown, I believe it was like 60 pitches in Thursday game, which that's a long outing for anybody. And I believe Arkansas operates under the system, which a lot of teams do, where they just have a whiteboard. If you're a pitcher and you're available, you write your name on the board, or you don't, or your name's on the board if you're available, or if you got your side work, a bullpen, that's on the board. Will McIntyre walks in. His name is not on the board. There's an interview with Dave Van Horn talking about this. And he goes, when I showed up today, his name wasn't on the board. Then during the game, it was on the board. And I was like, all right, well, we must be ready. That is a horrible ad lib, but Will McIntyre put himself on the board on short rest. We love to see that. Willing to sacrifice himself for the team. Next up, UNC decided to hit a million home runs this weekend. They hit 14 home runs at Wake Forest. Nick Kurtz had two home runs on Sunday, which I am going to throw that in there. But Jordan, yes.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned this, because I thought about doing Parks Harbor for my hitter of the week, but I'm just going to mention him here. Just a really cool transfer story, I guess, to see him. Now, a part of me wonders what this Georgia lineup would look like if Parks Harbor was still there. I just love Parks Harbor showing up to Winston-Salem, and there's 500,000 scouts there to see Hartle and Chase Burns. And he's like, you're here to see them? Well, let me hit homers off of both of them. And yeah, you will remember me instead. Casey Cook also taken, you know, Chase Burns deep a couple of times. So yeah, really impressive weekend for the Tar Heels, obviously.
Yeah. Now this next one, Jordan, I have it in our Google Doc under What do you know about this clip, Jordan? And it is a clip where, if you click it, I will talk you through it for our listeners at home, where there's a gentleman named Peyton Bonds hitting his second home run of the weekend for the Campbell Camels. What do you see? Anything stand out to you?
Well, I am familiar with Peyton Bonds.
And
it is freaking awesome. It is a little bit weird seeing him swing right-handed, I will say.
Yep.
I think the fact that the home run king's nephew is just hanging out, hitting home runs in D1 baseball, and we're not talking about it a lot more, is a failure on the part of this entire nation.
These were his first. These were his first of the weekend. I didn't want to, he's a freshman, so I didn't want to tweet, hey, everybody, look at the nephew of Barry Bonds at so-and-so school. That feels like unnecessary pressure. That doesn't need to come from the
I know.
That can come from someone else.
That's fair.
But now that he is hitting home runs, he has entered himself into the chat, so to speak. And we are going to be chatting. Whenever I go to Campbell, I always notice Peyton Bonds because he is 6'5". How could you not? But his legs are the size of like my midsection, which I am not in great shape, Jordan. Your quad should, like, your quad being this size, like, it's all muscle. It's scary. He takes the meat. I believe he brings the meat wagon. Like, that's his freshman duty to bring that on the road, to haul the meat wagon with him. But either way, I am thoroughly excited to follow his collegiate career and beyond.
Yeah, and he's a true freshman, right? Or I'm pretty sure.
I believe so.
So now again, like, Campbell's loaded, right? I mean, it's not like him not getting necessarily a ton, and he's got, you know, 70 plus plate appearances already. But it's no small thing to crack into this lineup, you know? So that tells me if he is getting playing time, I think that speaks to what they think of him. He obviously looks the part. And it'll be, I agree. It'll be really interesting because he was not super well. Like, I remember, I think the first I heard about this was in the fall report, maybe. Like, I had not known about this guy as a freshman at all, or as a high schooler. So, and in an age when like big league lineage is like so common at all levels of baseball, like we usually know about it. This is interesting one that has somehow flown under the radar. Now, to your point, like, we shouldn't be putting the pressure on the kid. We want him to have his own career, no matter whether he's a big leaguer or not. It doesn't really, it's obviously not a matter of expectations. It's completely unfair. Every kid's different. No. It's just surprising that it's kind of gone under the radar to the degree that it has.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, I know for a fact that Manny Ramirez's son is committed to Tennessee. And I think I've known that since he was like a sophomore in high school, which that's not inside scoop. That's public information, but that's just like a testament to how it's talked about. But I mean, you talk about a great place to be for someone who's from a big league bloodline where people aren't talking about being from a big league bloodline is the nobody's from nowhere. Are you kidding me?
Like, that's a great call.
That is a perfect fit for me. Like, I have zero doubt that as a Campbell Camel, he's going to have a ton of success.
That's a great call. All right, Steve, we have one more link on here before we get to player and pitcher of the year. I quote tweeted this video earlier this afternoon, and I would like you to share what you are looking at.
Okay, so this is Prep Baseball Ontario, which does that fall under the Prep Baseball Report umbrella due to the square on Twitter? I know it does. It
sure does. But can you read me the date on the tweet?
Yeah, so this is July 5th, 2017, where we have a class of 2020. I'm going to let you finish this one off because you know the pronunciations on this one better than I.
Steve, so March Madness is going on, and Purdue is heading to the Final Four, and they have a gentleman named Zach Edey, who is from Canada. And Zach Edey is, I believe, currently listed at 7'4", I think, as, you know, the most dominant player in college basketball. And I actually saw Zach Edey in person last year. I went and saw Purdue play at Ohio State. But I watched Zach Edey play basketball because he is really tall. However, this video that we are about to talk about is Zach Edey as, I suppose, a high school freshman.
Still really tall.
I think a freshman or like a whatever. Anyway, he's 6'11". He's throwing 75 miles an hour, and it's just an incredible, incredible video. Shouts out to my dear friend Matt Monaghan, who wrote about Zach Edey's baseball upbringing on MLB.com. I encourage everyone to go check that out. But I just wanted you to analyze this video before we move on.
My analysis is currently Zach Edey is 7'4", which, if you don't know what that means he is buying his shoes at the complete end of the section at Marshall's in that random rack where they're just like size 20 loafers for whatever reason. He has grown, let's do some quick math, 5 inches since this video was taken, and he looks painfully tall in this video. So to all the people who are like, oh, of course, he's tall, he's gifted, of course he was going to be good. Shout out to this guy, because I know his knees hurt all the time growing up. His shins probably kill him. But if I got to say, if I'm taking one college basketball player on my college baseball team right now, I got to take DJ Burns from NC State. That, yes. You talk about a Stephen Shock type of guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely correct. No, there's listen, there's no shortage of March Madness content we could get into, but this clip, I just couldn't resist.
Absolutely. So. It's perfect. Perfect.
But anyway, let's move on here, Steve. Should we do our players? Oh, you have one more ad read. So let's do that before we,
let's go. Of course, because yep. I just checked it out.
He's here.
It's brown. It's brown on the other side. We're going to flip it. How are we going to flip it? Baseball barbecue, baby. Baseball barbecue started when a broken grill fork and a cracked bat came together to make the perfect grill tool. So perfect. I just love it. Now, Baseball Barbecue makes patented bat handle barbecue tools and cutting boards that are licensed for the best teams in college baseball. Fun and functional, Baseball Barbecue products are perfect for casual fans and serious grillers alike. A great way to out-tailgate your rivals. Visit baseballbarbecue.com/D1Baseball to find the perfect grilling gift for the college baseball fan in your life. That ad read got a little wonky because I was going all right eye with my left eye behind the board. Didn't work out well. That's my reading review. Get Baseball Barbecue, though, because these things rock. I did cut some strawberries, cut a banana on this. Functioned perfectly. I'm a little worried to get it dirty because I do hold it up here, and I don't want people to be like, oh, that guy's disgusting. But either way, great stuff.
Steve, did you barbecue the strawberries and bananas?
I did. Just torched them.
Just making sure. All right, Steve, let's thank you for that wonderful ad read, as always.
Of course.
Let's get to our players and pitchers of the week. Why don't you start me off with your player of the week?
Yeah, so my player of the week is coming from Mercer. His name is Ty Daly. Over the week, course of the week, in 15 at-bats, he had 8 hits. 5 of them were home runs. Drove in 11 RBIs, walked 0 times. Not wasting anyone's time. He's optimizing the home runs. I'm here for it. So Ty Daly out of Mercer, good on you. Keep hitting home runs. Do not waste your time with other sorts of extra base hits. He had 3 singles, 5 home runs. That's a good mix.
That's a good one too. He was someone that, he had 18 homers as a freshman, and I had like never heard of him, and now it's like, oh, yep, nope, that's someone I need to pay attention to. So,
dude, I'm telling you, if you just go to the top 100 hitters and pitchers for each weekend, mm-hmm. It's like my favorite.
It's the best. It's one of my favorite things that we have on the website. 100%.
It's on D1Baseball.com. Use code Donkey to get 24% off. By the way, before
and I'm going to go right to that list to pick my player of the week, and that is a JC on Easter weekend, Jacob Christian himself. Steve, this is not just because it's a bad joke. It is because Jacob Christian is someone who's been on my radar here for a while. Because what do you know about Jake? Now, listen, he had a good weekend, hit a few home runs. That's fine. Had you heard of Jacob Christian before this weekend or before the season?
I actually did. You have your computer in front of you right now?
I do. I absolutely do.
Okay, so type his name in and then type in just the letters UMBC.
Okay. Jacob.
Jacob Christian. Completely different Jacob Christian. Okay. But I played with a Jacob Christian at UMBC in high school. So, okay. Yeah, so I get very confused.
Fair enough. So your Jacob Christian is a J-A-C-O-B. This one mm-hmm. is a J-A-K-O-B. So there is at least a little bit of difference there. But again, fair enough. You did indeed know a Jacob Christian. This is a different one. So I'm assuming you did not know anything about this one beforehand.
Okay. Blank slate on this.
All right. So then I'm going to ask you to do some Googling. All right. I'm going to ask you to pull up Jacob Christian with a K, and I'm going to ask you to pull up his statistics at one point, Loma Nazarene University from last year. All right. You're probably familiar with Point Loma because this is, along with App State and BYU, the most overly shared viral baseball field in college baseball. Is that a fair way to describe it?
That's very fair. Very cool field for different reasons. I also believe, didn't Jay Johnson go here?
I think he might have. Did he go there? Did he coach there? I think he does have a connection there. I think you're right.
I want to say so, but that's beside the point. Back to his stats at Point Loma. Okay.
How does it seem like he did last year? What did we see? How did he do last season? Want to read me that?
So as a freshman in 2022, no, we are looking for 2023.
Tell me about his 2023 season. What did he?
His 2023 season, he hit a meager 408 and 191 at-bats, where he had 78 hits, 8 doubles, 1 triple, 70-ish RBIs. Here I'm seeing he had 28 home runs. Is that true? Is that real? Did he really hit of his 78 hits? Were 28 of them home runs? Were 50 just regular?
28 home runs in 52 games for Jacob Christian. Now, part of what makes that field so funny, of course, is it is a tiny field. But only half of his 28 home runs were at home. And as we've seen, as he has transitioned to the Division I level at USD and has continued to hit home runs, now he's not going to hit 28 home runs this year. But I'm just glad that he is not, you know, embarrassing himself at the level. I'm glad that it is translating to some degree. But no one can ever take away that stat line, which is to hit 408 with 28 home runs in 52 games.
Now, was that his stat line from the season or like the stat line from him playing wiffle ball after the games with his friends? Because that's ridiculous. I did look it up. In the year 2000, there was a senior number 2 infielder named Jay Johnson from Shasta College, Oroville, California. But yeah, I assume that is him.
There you go. So Jay Johnson, you're right. Jay Johnson did play. I guess Shasta's one of the junior colleges there, and then he went to Point Loma. So anyway, Jacob Christian, shouts out to you, sir. All right, what's your pitcher of the week, Steve?
So for my pitcher of the week, I'm going with Connor Matheson from Grand Canyon University, for the first time in 42 years in the Grand Canyon, he threw a no-hitter.
In the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, which you might think about it. You know, the Grand Canyon, it's an abyss. Hitters are not leaving the canyon.
That's true.
But
that's true.
To not even let him get a hit, this is a freshman. He struck out 10 along the way, only walked 2 guys. He had some stellar defense behind him because, you know, a no-hitter, that is an incredible feat for a pitcher. But teams got to come in. The third baseman, I cannot remember his name. He made a really nice play on a slow roller, barehanded it, just absolute laser throw over to first, and that was in, I want to say, the 7th inning or around then. So it was a real team effort, but Connor Matheson, you were the one with the ball. You were the man who did it. Shout out to you.
Here's what I love about him. This guy was one of the top pitchers in Arizona as a high schooler, and he was like, you know what? I'm just going to chill at home and go to Grand Canyon, right? Like, presumably he has offers. And Grand Canyon, obviously a fantastic program, right? But, like, for GCU to, like, keep him in town and, like, have him be, you know, one of their aces is awesome. That's that's really impressive. So,
I mean, Arizona is a very cool place. Like, where Grand Canyon University is, too.
No, it's great.
That's a school I've randomly been there.
It's no, weird. It's not same. No, I went obviously last year when I saw them in Tennessee. Like, it's nothing about Grand Canyon. It's just, again, it's just the nature of college baseball. Is normally the top players in each state end up going to the best top schools. So anyway, that's a great pick. My pick is Sam
Heifel. There were a lot of
Sam Heifel still in college baseball.
Love that.
Isn't that wild? So he like dominated Notre Dame this weekend. And I'm just like, man, like we were talking like the 2021, by the way, very funny tweet about NC State.
Thanks.
yesterday, Steve. But anyway, Sam Heifel, though, I'm just like, wow, like this is someone who is just like been in our college baseball lives forever. But over the last couple of years, it's been more in the context of like, man, NC State could really use Sam Heifel. And so that's kind of why I'm bringing him up here. I know Notre Dame's not great, but to kind of have him be back and starting to look like himself. I mean, again, it's like, geez, I can't believe he just feels like he's got eternal eligibility. So good to see him thrown well.
I think his thing, the reason he's been around a while, but the reason he seems like he's been around even longer is because like how famous he was as a freshman too.
Yeah. Cause like, that's part of it. Yeah.
And you know, it was, again, he had a great freshman season, but he also went 2-for-4 off of Kumar Rocker.
Right.
Before everyone was a two-way. This was before Jack Caglione was hitting every day. This was before everyone knew you could do both.
That was also, that was before, you know, we were vaccinated.
Oh, yeah.
This was so long ago.
You do want to speak on that note, it was, so that happened, of course, in 2021. And the week after I got booted from the College World Series, I tweeted, where in Wilmington should I go to watch the College World Series? And I never shared this, but I got a DM from Sam Heifel asking if I wanted to come hang out at their condo in Wilmington to come over and just hang out and watch the games. I was really close. I was really close to doing it. But, you know, everything was new with the virus and all that. We didn't know what would get us in trouble.
You're responsible. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But that is an amazing story. Offer, though. So wait, you're saying like after...
Yeah.
You're saying,
yeah.
Just trying to follow the timeline there for everybody involved.
Yeah, it was. There was enough time. There was enough time. Time had passed.
Okay. That's fair. Anyway, Sam Heifel, just like a name, I just cannot believe we're still saying on a college baseball podcast. But God bless him. All right, Steve. How about this? We were going to talk about Golden Spikes. But we will be getting an updated watch list, I believe, later this week. So how about we punt that conversation to next week when we have the official list, and then we can start to have some serious conversations. And let's be honest, Steve, it's Charlie Condon's to lose, okay? God bless everyone else trying right now. I'm not saying there aren't some great candidates. I'm not saying he is a guarantee. I'm saying right now, statistically, he is very far ahead of everybody else. So... long way to go. We got a lot of games left to play, but that's where we're at right now. So I don't think that's a very hot of a take. If you think it is, you can tell me now. Otherwise, I think we can end the podcast.
I love where your head's at. We will end it, and we will bring Jake back for that conversation. Yeah. Sorry. Believe it or not, Jack Caglione was top of mind because I was going to say, how many wins does he have? But either way, it's a fun conversation to be had. I mean, what is it? 19 home runs? 18, 19?
Yeah, he's at 19 now. So no, you're right. Crazy. Cags is gonna have a great case. But I will say though, I'm actually now not looking forward to doing this because in my day job, I just did this with Shohei Ohtani and Aaron Judge. So never mind.
Well, now you're an expert.
Never mind. I don't want to talk about this at all, or at least not right now. When Jake returns next week, we will dive into some Golden Spikes conversation.
Well, I think that's a good spot to leave it. Of course, Jordan,
thank you, Steve.
This was a pleasure. It was an honor serving with you on this podcast. Speaking of service, thank you to our sponsors, Soldier Sports and Baseball Barbecue. Of course, one, you know, the military service, the other, the service industry. Barbecue, always great, always there for us when we need them most. Thank you to our sponsors. Of course, thank you to D1 Baseball for allowing us to get on here and talk on their podcast network. We will catch you next time on the Shock Factor podcast. Bye.
The Shock Factor podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.